So I just have to know, is there anybody here that's already got their Christmas tree up? Anybody? You're like one of those freaky people, aren't you? A couple of you are. It's like everyone else in the room, like, hates you right now. I just set you up for, like, everyone's, like, loathing you, you know. But, no, I'm kidding. I think it's great to have a chance to do that. It's fun to be able to, you know, see the decorations go up. Last week was really fun as we got to collect turkeys. And so it feels like the holidays as soon as we're, you know, doing those outreach type of things. And so I want to say thank you personally for all of you bringing out turkeys and hams. We had over 108 turkeys and hams and $1,295 raised. So it was really, really awesome. So thank you. Miracles or Outreach was super duper blessed by all that. Their freezer is absolutely full of meat right now, which is what they love to see. It gives them so much burden relief to know that they have got plenty of food to be able to feed those students. But in addition to that, Bob Kroll this week delivered over 22 pairs of shoes, brand new shoes. And so those students got new shoes too. So I want to say thank you for all those involved in that. Really, really cool. Our toy drive's happening. Hopefully you're participating in those type of things. But these are the holiday moments, the times that we begin to think about others. And one of the core values that we have in our hallway out there in the foyer when you're there is a statement that our staff wrote about 5 years ago. And it's this statement, and it's in your message guide. If you actually want to grab your paper out, you can fill in a blank and get that taken care of now. But and it's simply this, that practical help paves the way for us to share our eternal hope. Practical help paves the way for us to share our eternal hope. Such an important thing. As we desire for our church not to be a church that is just to make North Point known, our desire is to make God known in our community. And so there are times when our church becomes those hands and feet moments where we're out there in our community serving our community. And our desire is that our church would be seen as a church that offers practical help to those areas of our mission partners and social injustices that we're a part of. We can't be a part of everything, but for those things that God calls us to be a part of, we want to use it as a tool to be able to share our eternal hope. And so that same thing that's happening globally as a church is a DNA thing in our church. We need it to also be the part of the DNA of this church, meaning you as the church, the individuals of the church, need to be carrying the responsibility to have those opportunities for you to share your eternal hope. And a lot of times, just by doing practical, nice, loving, kind, serving things for others, it gives you the opportunity, it gives you the platform for you to be able to share your eternal hope. And so this morning, as I prayed so heavily about today's message, wanting to just figure out, God, you know, where would you have me take today's message and direct me from Scripture and allow me, Father, to really speak from my heart, I really felt God just press upon my heart, this season and time of year is the biggest and easiest opportunity for you as a church member for you to share your eternal hope with those that you love and you care about. It is this time of year that proverbially the clock seems to slow in terms of your business, in terms of your family. Yes, you're hustling, bustling, getting gifts. I understand that. But you'll know what I'm talking about. The pace seems to change. Suddenly, people don't reply to the emails. Those important things that you need done, suddenly people just aren't replying anymore because they're at the holiday party or they went to the luncheon or they have some little get-together or gift exchange. And you're like, I don't care about your gift exchange. I need you to reply to my email as fast as possible, you know? But amen, someone said. But the truth is that things do seem to slow down. It's in this next 2 months that you will have more casual conversations with your coworkers than ever before. And there's never been a greater opportunity than these two seasons of Thanksgiving and Christmas for you to tee up biblical conversations about your hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving's a time full of gratitude and thanksgiving. As believers, we have the highest and greatest reason to be grateful and thankful to what God's done for us through his son, Jesus Christ, through his forgiveness of sins, for our confident hope of our future home in heaven, for his practical help that he leads us and guides us through every single day. We have a beautiful and amazing relationship, and I know that you're grateful for that. Thanksgiving gives you a time to naturally tee up that conversation. In addition to that, Christmas time with the birth of Jesus Christ, it's the advent of Jesus Christ. God is with us. Emmanuel has come. There's no greater reason to explain. The reason for the season is not about just presence and about peace on earth. It's about the great peacemaker, Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins and to change our lives forever and to be radically changed. This is what we exist for. And so as I began preparing for this message today, there's just one question I want to ask you, is where are you in terms of your ability and desire to want to share your faith? Where does that land with you right now? If I could just sit down with you, and that's the kind of today's message, is for me just to be able to sit down and let's have a conversation about this issue. And I'm not here to preach to you. I'm here just as much to talk to myself as I'm talking to you. But I really feel like what God has placed on my heart is that there is a burden that I have that I feel like the Holy Spirit's given me for our church to make sure that you and I understand the important role that we have in sharing our faith. And for so many of us, if we're being honest, we don't feel really like we're doing a good job at that. And we have a list of objections and reasons why we're messing it up and they're not doing it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that as a believer, not only do we have a beautiful, confident hope in Jesus, but you and I have a responsibility to share our faith. And as your friend and as your pastor, I would be remiss and I wouldn't be taking my responsibility as the pastor as important if I didn't make sure that you understand that you have a sacred responsibility to not just know God more as a consumer, but to make him known proactively in your life in those places that God has teed up for you to do that. And so I want to watch a quick video. It's going to be about 2 minutes long. It's a clip from a TV show you might have heard before called Seinfeld. Let's watch it together.
So where do you want to eat?
Feels like an Arby's night.
Arby's, beef and cheese and... Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Oh, so you're pretty religious.
I try.
So is it a problem that I'm not really religious?
Not for me.
Why not?
I'm not the one going to hell. Lane, they forgot to deliver your paper today. Why don't you just grab that one?
That belongs to Mr. Potato Guy. That's his.
Come on, I'll get it.
Well, if you want it, you get it.
Sorry, thou shalt not steal.
Oh, but it's okay for me.
Oh, what do you care? You know where you're going.
All right, that is it. I can't live like this.
Oh, no.
Come on.
All right, what did I do?
David, I'm going to hell. The worst place in the world. With devils and those caves and the ragged clothing. And the heat. My God, the heat. What do you think about all that?
It's going to be rough.
You should be trying to save me.
Don't boss me. This is why you're going to hell.
I am not going to hell. And if you think I'm going to hell, you should care that I'm going to hell, even though I am not.
You stole my Jesus fish, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
That's just so terrible. But every time I watch it, I get such a laugh out of it, but then also it cuts back another way. Folks, here's the situation. Sometimes I think you care more about your friendships than you'd care about your friends dying and going to hell. Do you hear me, folks? We can laugh at the video, and I guess we can all see a little bit of ourselves in that. You know, we do know we've got friends that are going to hell, and we don't think it's funny, do we? But for all of us, if we're being honest, if you're a believer in this room, that you know that when Jesus Christ saves you, He's not just saving you for having forgiveness of sins and so that your life can be relatively better and more comfortable on this earth and that you can have guidance and direction. Yes, all those things are true, but ultimately, you are saved from a terrible place. God's word teaches us that hell is real, and all those that do not call upon the name of the Lord who are not saved at those last days, they're going to suffer eternally. But somehow or another, what your friends are thinking out there is that they're thinking and feeling is that, you know what, for the little bit I know about God, if he's truly loving and he's merciful and he's just and he's gracious and all those things, then I can just live a pretty good life and then everything will be okay. And at the end, let God kind of sort out all the details. But Jesus says there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He says that's through me. But he also says that for those that do not call upon him, will perish. And so, folks, you and I have friends right now, relationships, people that we have influence over who unfortunately don't know the hope that's inside your heart. And it's easy for us to get caught up in the fact that we're doing the religious thing and we love our relationship with God and we love to do Bible studies and discover more truths and facts and theology about him. But the truth of the matter is that you and I were not just saved from hell. We were saved for a purpose, and that's for us to be a part of the kingdom of God and to make sure that we are being his ambassadors in our life, in our circles of influence, in the relationships that God has placed before us, in those divine opportunities that he lands us in. We have a full responsibility to have those crucial conversations with those people that we love and care about. But what I'm afraid has happened is that, and I'm guilty of this, I spent a lot of time preaching about what we're saved from. We're saved from sin. We're saved from the eternally separated from God. All those things that we're saved from and how our lives can be so much better in response to that. But here is the big thing that we need to remember. We're not just saved from, we were saved for. And when you and I get that right, suddenly things change. If heaven is only some place that I go to after I die, then whatever I do here on earth can just feel like it's optional. If all it is I got saved from that and I'm not having to suffer the consequences of my decision not to follow Christ, then you know what? If I do, you know, it's everyone else's problem. It's not my problem anymore because after all, I've been saved. And so it's easy for me to kind of just say, you know, it's kind of optional. Whether I memorize scripture, whether I share my faith, whether I study my word, as long as I've got that right, then I must be okay. And I grew up in churches like many of you grew up in the church where the pastor just encouraged you to raise your hand or say some recipe prayer, repeat after me, and then we were told we're okay. And that everything's fine, and then suddenly we don't bother you anymore about salvation, and we just want you to start coming to do those disciplines. But if you don't, we don't really care, because after all, you got saved, and that makes us feel better because we love you, and we don't want you to die and suffer without God, and so we feel like everything must be okay. Because then we treat your discipleship like it's optional, because we don't even tell you what it is that you need to do. We don't tell you the importance of reading God's word. We don't tell you the importance of understanding and applying to what you're reading. We don't teach you the fact that you should memorize scripture and hide it in your heart. And ultimately, we miss the opportunity by not letting everyone know that it is not an optional thing for a believer in Jesus Christ not to share our faith. And if I could sit down with every single one of you and have this conversation in a loving way, I'm not preaching at you. I'm just helping us understand and open our eyes. It is not okay for a believer in Jesus Christ not to have a burden for the lost. And so can you ask yourself this hard question? Do I ever lay awake at night worrying about the salvation of those people that I have good relationships with, those people that God has given me a position of influence and opportunity with? And those opportunities that God places before me that are those divine opportunities that I'll have the opportunity to share my faith. Do you have something inside of you that wrestles and burdens and lays awake worried enough to really pray about it? And if not, there's two issues that I'm suggesting are possibly the issue for you. Number one is that you've bought into the lie that it's too hard and I can't do it and I'm afraid. I'm fearful of doing it, but I don't feel comfortable doing it. You've bought into something that Satan wants you to do. You realize that when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and took residence inside of your life? The Holy Spirit is God in spirit, which is inside us all, who empowers every believer. We have more power inside of us as a believer than we've ever had outside of it. But the Holy Spirit wants us to be able to be bold for him. But Satan says, no, I don't want you to tap into the strength and the power that's there, because the Holy Spirit in his moral persuasive power is drawing all men to God. If all we would do is lift them up, you have a very small part of the job. But the Holy Spirit has all of the job. But he's teeing up the opportunities. He's nudging you to participate. He's inviting you to join. And so many of us are like, oh, I just can't do it. I can't do it. Have you forgotten the awesome power that resides inside your spirit? The Holy Spirit is with you, empowering you, equipping you to do more than you could ever ask, believe, or imagine. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we have joy. We have joy because we do have forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. We do have joy because we have a hope eternal in the heavens. We do have joy because God guides us and directs our steps, and God gives us clarity for decisions and comforts us when we're hurting, gives us peace when we have situations that take away and rob our peace. Those things bring us joy, but if you want to experience the indescribable joy of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, tap into the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and be his witness. Because when you and I are a witness and we're being used by God, for God, as an ambassador for God, God's making his appeal through you. When you realize that he set the opportunity up for you to do this, he's given you this moment in time, but you're going to have the opportunity to have a heaven and hell conversation, a life-changing conversation. You're not responsible if they say yes. You're responsible just to be obedient to the conversation. And when you feel the Holy Spirit's power moving through you in an obedient fashion, I'm telling you, there is no greater joy on this earth. And I know that you know what I'm talking about, because if it's not you, you know there are people in this room, there are men and women in this room that you know personally that seem to have a joy that is greater than yours. They seem to have a burden that is deeper than yours when it comes to sharing their faith. They seem to take prayer much more seriously than you ever thought to take prayer more seriously. There's something about them that is uniquely different. And if you're being honest, it bothers you, because you have to ask yourself, what am I missing? Why don't I have that level of spirituality? Why don't I have that level of power when I pray? Why don't I have that level of internal confidence that God is with me like that? It's because for many of us, we've not activated our faith and felt what it feels like when the Holy Spirit moves through us in a powerful way to be able to share our testimony. You have a story in your life. It's a story of brokenness. It's a story of mistakes. It's a story where you were confused. It's a story where you couldn't answer all those life's questions. It's a story when you were afraid to step out in faith. It's a story that you were ashamed for what you were ashamed for all the things that you've done. You and I all have these stories, and God has placed you in a specific time in history and given you specific relationships and giving you influence over specific people for the opportunity that God is saying, this is your moment in time to have this crucial conversation. Well, what's a crucial conversation? Well, you know the difference. You and I could have a small chit-chat after service and just kind of, you know, chat about the news and the weather and the day and the kids and all those things. But there's this moment in time in every conversation where suddenly things change. That what we're talking and that the person will say, hey, can I ask you something? Can we talk about something? And suddenly this chit-chat conversations turns to this weight. You felt it, right? Those moments where the conversation shifts, the tempo slows, sometimes the volume drops. As we get closer together, maybe you invite them into your cubicle, or we kind of close the door, or we just turn the radio off and stop the car and roll the windows down because we realize we're going to be here for a few minutes. It's those opportunities and those moments, I'm telling you, as believers, if you could just realize and recognize that God wants to use you in a powerful way, I know you're going to be scared. I know that it's going to feel intimidating. It may feel really uncomfortable for you because these are friends you've known for a long time but have never had this spiritual conversation with, and so it's just going to feel awkward. But when the Holy Spirit tees that up for us, it's important for us to say yes and to have those conversations. You know, for many of us, when it comes to sharing our faith, I hear this a lot from our church family over the years. When it comes to that loved one that you know doesn't know the Lord, I've heard over and over people say things like this: if I could just, and it starts off always the same way, if I could just get them to this Easter service. If I could just get them, you know, if I just told them that you don't have to buy me a Mother's Day present, but if you just come to church on Mother's Day. If I could just get them to this special event the church is doing, if I could just get them to camp, or if I can get them to come to the student ministry, then God can do the work. And I want you to know that of all the people that I've ever had the pleasure of discipling and walking alongside, and you can even ask yourself this question, when was it and how was it? What were the circumstances around the day that you surrendered your heart to God? And what I've found is that very few people have ever said, it was that Mother's Day service that did it for me. Look, yes, it is in church where God, when people can experience the Holy Spirit. We spend so much time praying for this service that the Holy Spirit would move inside your lives today. That was our prayer this morning, specifically as a group, as we gather together, the Holy Spirit would do his work so that you would feel like God brought you here, not that you brought yourself here. The goal of the Holy Spirit is to move, and so we want to create environments to where that happens, yes. But here's what people will naturally come to Jesus Christ for. And the stories are different, but their circumstances are always the same. And it's when circumstances of their life interface and interact with certain key relationships in their life. Let me explain. It's when circumstances of her life, that means they're going through a period of suffering, a period of pain, situation where they're confused, a situation where they don't know where to go and how to look and what to explain. In those moments in time, they want to look for relationships and have conversations, not just chit-chat. They want to have a conversation with someone who they think has figured this out. And they're looking for those people of peace. And those people who seem to understand something that they don't understand. When their life is confusing, they're reaching out for people who seem to have the answers and they want to listen. And when God places those people in your path and they drop down and God nudges you and says, this is the conversation. He has done so much of the work in advance of this conversation. All you need to do is be transparent and share your faith. Find out where they are. Try to answer the question that they have and look for a way for God to be able to nudge you to share your part of the story. And as you listen, you're going to hear them say things that you can relate to. And here's why I know that to be true. The Holy Spirit would not have put something in someone in front of your path that you're unqualified and have no experience to be able to help outside of his power. He already knows your story. He knows your level of faith. And he knows this is a ball that you won't drop if you lean on him. If you lean on your own strength, you're probably going to bobble it. But if you're leaning into him and you're prepared for the opportunity, it'll make all the difference in the world. So it's when those circumstances of life intersect with those relationships. I want you to write down two blanks. I want to read a passage of scripture in a moment to you that's going to give you an example of this, but I'm teaching you the principle ahead of time. So if you're here going, when is he going to open the Bible? I promise, I'm ready. But here's the thing. I want you to write down the first blank is relationships. Right now, you've got people in your life that you have relationships with, that you love them and they know you love them. You love and care for each other and they know that. Maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your children, maybe it's a close friend. But they know that you know, and they probably know your faith story. Maybe for some of you, you've got some great friends and they know you love you, but you've never shared your faith with them and they don't know if what you really quite believe because you're so worried about, I don't want to get awkward. I mean, good grief, if you try to say something on social media about your faith, what's going to happen to you? Right? We're all a little nervous about that. But here's the deal, is that those people that know that you love them, you can speak into their life in a way that nobody else can. The next blank is your influence, people that you have influence over. You may be their doctor. You may be their boss. You may be their teacher. They may be your student. You may be in a civic association together. There's some area or level that you have some type of relationship with. And where you have a relationship and where you have influence, I'm here to suggest today that you have a responsibility in order to share your faith. That is key for us to do. Robbie Gallaty, which is he's a pastor, he's an author, he's written many books on discipleship. He was actually discipled by David Platt. You know who David Platt is, the author of Radical Pastor. He's a pretty big name to us in the famous kind of sector in Christians the world. But Robbie Gallaty, before David Platt was ever a famous pastor, he was still in seminary. He had a relationship with a guy named Rob. And Robbie, he said, hey, can I disciple you? Can we walk alongside each other together? And I'm going to read a quote to you in just a moment that Robbie will say, but if you know David Platt's writing, you go, oh, that sounds like David Platt. It's because he was discipled and he walked alongside someone who he knew he had a relationship and influence over. But this is what Robbie said, and I think it's really hard for us to hear as believers, but I don't doubt what he said. He said, I don't think you can be a Christian and trust Jesus as your Savior and not obey him as your Lord. You're following Jesus as King, your Lord and your Savior. You can't just compartmentalize the attributes of Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, then you understand that he saved you from sin. Yes, he saved you from the penalty of hell and all those things, but he saved you for a purpose. And if he's your Lord, you realize that it's a responsibility. It's a sacred responsibility. It's not something that we can pass by. In the next couple months, you're going to have your family and your friends and the circle of influence all slowing down, and they're willing to talk to you. And it's a time that people will be able to share. And for some reason, there's some people in your life that will just sit down in your cubicle, and you like to have a Wonder Woman lasso on them. You don't know why, but there's like truth sermon, truth serum. They're like telling you their whole life story, and you're going, why does everybody tell me their whole life story? You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's trying to wake you up to go, this is your chance. Oh my gosh, take it. Speak truth. Because when you speak truth into someone's life who is open up and they already know that you're a person of relationship, they already see you as a person of influence in their life, as soon as you and I do that, the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you. You're going to remember verses that you've memorized. There's going to be passages of scripture that you've studied in your word that morning or that earlier that week that are suddenly going to make sense. This was for them. And you're going to be able to share that truth and speak that truth in love into their heart and into their lives. And although they may not pray to receive Jesus Christ, I wouldn't even push the issue right there with them. If it seems natural and the Holy Spirit tells you, say, is there any reason why you wouldn't just surrender to him now? But don't shove it down their throat. No one likes when the conversation shifts to from a gentle kind of conversation to a presentation. Oh, okay, good. You're ready? Okay, I studied something called faith. It's like, this is the acronym for how you're supposed to pray to receive Jesus. Like, oh, what are we doing to me? Why did all of a sudden this turn into a program and a presentation? Keep it relational. Tell them your story. Tell them what Jesus did in your life and invite them to surrender their life to him in the same way that you did. It is not a recipe. It is not a script to follow. God is going to give you all the words to say, but you want to invite them to cross that step of faith in their life. But I promise you that if you would just share your faith and share the truth of God's word that's hidden in your heart and that what you've discovered in scripture in your own private reading and how God's changed your life, they're going to lay in bed at night staring at the ceiling fan. They're going to be wrestling with the truth that you told them. The Holy Spirit's moral persuasive power is going to continue to work inside their heart and life to reveal them of what they heard is truth. And suddenly the shelves that they had enough, they couldn't put these thoughts on are starting to assemble. The pieces of the puzzle are coming together. And it's only a moment in time before the conquering king conquers their heart and they surrender their life to him. You can have all the religious activity in the world, Robbie Gallaty says. You can have all the religious activity in the world, but still be on the throne of your own heart. Are you, church family, willing to make sure that you're making him known when the opportunity comes up? The next thing is that God gives us these divine opportunities. Just a moment, we're going to read a passage of scripture where we see one of those divine opportunities come to fruition. Hopefully brings this entire message together for you, but I just, again, wanted to start off with a conversation. But there are going to be, and you might write that blank down, divine opportunities. There's going to be divine opportunities in your life that God is going to prepare you for and place you in the middle of. And if you are praying and asking God for these opportunities to be revealed in your life, you're going to sense the Holy Spirit say, here's the chance. For some reason, your car's broken down and you're sitting inside a mechanic shop for a few hours. You're getting tires and the guy said it should be only about 40 minutes and now you're 2.5 hours into it and you don't know why you're still stuck here. But there's a person that sat down next to you and either you can go scanning through your phone and look at endless nonsense with your headphones in or you can just turn and understand the Holy Spirit just wants you to have a conversation. Maybe you're in the airport and you're so frustrated that you got delayed with your flight plans. And suddenly that person in the corner is crying or just seems heavy. And you say, hey, can I pray for you? Is there something I can, you know, I'm a person of faith. Would you mind if I just prayed for you? Imagine the conversations that would open up and those divine opportunities that are there. You know, in some ways, if I'm being honest, if I'm on a mission trip or I find myself in those moments, it is the easiest chance and easiest opportunity for me to share my faith with those total strangers. Sometimes it's harder for me to share my faith with someone who I know really well, who I'm close to. I guess because sometimes I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid of being labeled as a Jesus freak. I'm afraid that it may turn political and then we're not going to talk anymore and then they don't ever want to hear my voice. So I got all these fears and worries. For some of you, those divine opportunities are going to be the easiest ones. But we've got to be praying for that. We need the Holy Spirit to prompt us and to guide us. And the call that I'm asking you as a church family is to take this serious because we have a sacred responsibility to make God known. In your life, I want to challenge you that each one of us should have at least two people in our lives that we would know by name who we know if they were to die today, we don't think that they would be at home in heaven with God. There are people that you work with or people that you live with or people that you know personally or part of your family and likely you're going to see in the next couple months. Would you do me a favor? Would you pray a serious prayer about being bold when the Holy Spirit tees up the opportunity for you to share your faith? Listen what happened in the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It was in the book of Acts, chapter 8. It was right after Stephen, the first church martyr, was stoned. Do you remember that story? What a tragic moment in time. We know the apostle Paul was there. Scripture tells us that this was that Paul's previous name was Saul. And this is how the chapter begins in chapter 8 of the book of Acts. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. And at that time, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers, except the apostles, they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came, and they buried Stephen with great mourning. It was just a tragic moment. But Saul, again Paul, he was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. There was never, are you catching this? There has never been a more dangerous period of time than the early church's moments. Right after Stephen was stoned, people, if you had a belief in God, if you were trying to be known as a follower of Jesus Christ, it could cost you your life. It could cost you your livelihood. It can get you found in prison and also killed. You would think if there's any understanding of how it would be to kind of clam up and kind of hold up, this would be the group. But they understood something different. When Jesus came and saved them from their sins, they also understood, because Jesus talked about the kingdom of God more than anything else. They understood that they weren't just saved from something. They were saved for a purpose. And that's why verse 4 says this, but the believers, you would think they'd hunker down and hide. But it says in verse 4, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Even in the midst of all that fear. Philip, for example, he went to the city of Samaria and told all the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. And many of the evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims. And as many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. And there was just great joy in the city. There was this guy named Simon who was this sorcerer. And he was the one that everyone looked to do all these crazy things. And it says that they all listened to Simon, verse 11. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astonished them. But verse 12, but now the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. And as a result, many men and women were baptized. And even Simon the sorcerer himself believed and was baptized. And he began following Philip wherever he went. And he was amazed by the signs and great miracles that he performed, because Simon was doing magic, but what he was doing, what Philip was doing, was totally different. Sadly, Simon would prove to be a charlatan. He followed God because he wanted those powers, and it would cost him everything in following. But jump with me to verse 26, because this is where Philip meets a man that we would come to know as the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 26, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, so he sensed something in his spirit, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and there he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. And seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Catch this, this is still happening to you and I today. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over there. Walk alongside, right beside the carriage. To you, he may say, go sit over there and talk to her. Go sit over there and talk to him. Go sit on your child's bed tonight while they're sitting there wanting you to stay awake and trying to give them every reason to stay awake tonight and try to come. I need water. I need this. And God's saying, go sit on their bed tonight. Just go talk to them. And he said, Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the book of Isaiah. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, how can I understand unless someone instructs me? And then he urged Philip to come up and to the carriage and sit with him. Do you know somebody right now who is wrestling, trying to make sense of their life? And you walk up and say, man, do you have any idea what's going on in your life right now? And they're like, I can't figure anything out. I wish somebody would just tell me. Bing, that's the cue, folks. It's your cue. It's your chance, the Holy Spirit saying, you have answers. You don't have all the answers, but you know the one who does. And all you have to do is point them to me. Let me at them. I can radically transform their lives. You're not going to change their lives. I just need your story as the conduit. I need your obedience as the conduit. And you know what they're going to do? Is they're going to say exactly what the Ethiopian eunuch said is, hey, well, all right, I'll listen. What the Ethiopian eunuch says, come up here and sit with me in my chariot. He's saying the same thing that people are going to say. Yeah, would you mind sitting down in my cubicle? Can we go get coffee together? This is the same thing. The Holy Spirit's working the same way. It's your chance to share your faith. It's your divine moment. And as they rode along, verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me what the prophet was talking about. Was it himself or something else? And so here's the cool part. So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. So you begin with the same thing that they're asking, the questions that they have, you begin there, even if you don't understand it. And then you turn them to your testimony and your story about what God can do for them, and you invite them to follow Jesus. You don't cram it down their throat. You just invite them. You're a person of influence, a person of relationship, and you have the responsibility. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, well, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He wants what Philip has. And so he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. It wasn't some hard sell. He didn't force him to get baptized. He wanted to. We think that we got to lead people over this big, hard threshold of line. They're ready for it if they can find the answers, and you have the answers. When he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit snatched Philip away, and the eunuch never saw him again, but he went away rejoicing. There's some divine opportunities that you may find just like that. Where God has you in the airport, he has you sitting somewhere on a mission trip, and suddenly you're that voice that God uses, and then later they turn around and go, I don't even know the guy's name. I don't even know who it was. But I had a difficult circumstance. I had a hard situation, and God introduced me to a relationship or someone who I gave influence to or a divine opportunity. And when those things happen, when those circumstances interact with relationships, you're going to see the Holy Spirit do great things. And for only the people who are willing to be obedient in this room to ever experience it, you will get to know the joy. But for those that don't, you'll never get to know the joy that comes with sharing your faith. When you get to heaven, I don't want anyone in this room to stand before God and go, yeah, I knew that it was a probably good idea that I shared my faith, but I didn't. I was just a consumer of all that you offered me. And I'm telling you what, nobody wants to stand before the Father with that testimony. I'm not trying to scare you into sharing your faith. I'm trying to tell you that sharing your faith comes with incredible joy, but that responsibility, don't take it lightly. I love you too much not to speak that truth to you today. And the next couple months of opportunity that you're going to have with your friends and family and neighbors, Please take it. I'm going to pray for you, and Brenna and Chris are going to sing our final song, and I just want you to remain seated and just listen to the lyrics, because it's talking about the power that God has. It's talking about the fact that even in those relationships where you think you don't have opportunity and you think it's over, don't tell the Holy Spirit it's done. The Holy Spirit, he knows exactly what's going to happen. Don't tell him that it's finished yet. You have a responsibility. You have influence. You have relationships. Will you take it with those relationships he's placed before you? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the importance of this message today for all of us to take seriously the responsibility for us to make you known. Not to just be a consumer of Christian content, but to have the responsibility to share your faith, to share our faith, and then walk alongside a brother and sister in discipleship to help them know how to read their word, help them know how to pray, to memorize some scriptures, and also to share the responsibility of sharing our faith. Father, you've gloriously saved us, and we're grateful for that, for those that call upon you as their Savior today. And I pray, Father, that we would all activate our faith now and take it one step further in obedience to be ambassadors for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.